Mr. Sheriff. Welcome to Mountain State Baptist Church, Speaker Sunday School class. Have you been reading the Bible every day, praying every day? If you need help with it, let me know and I'll get you a schedule. You don't have to read by schedule, but you read the Bible through this year, you can come to the Bible Readers Banquet free of charge. Brother Steve, would you pray for us, please? The Lord Jesus Christ was the perfect sinless sacrifice. Took my place. I can get in because of Him. He fulfilled all the Father's demands and exceeded even and went past the Father's demands for sacrifice. The perfect sinless Savior, human sacrifice. But Brother Clark said a mouthful. He died for our sins. Jesus did, not Clark. But the many people died so we could have a Bible in our language. It wasn't just one. It's many people died so we could have a Bible in our language. I'm not worthy to pick it up, to look at it, open it, but I thank the Lord for it. We've been in Genesis for a while. We saw in chapter 1 and 2 the creation of all things, and we saw that every word of those chapters was true.
Right.
And then in chapters 3 through 5, we saw the corruption of all things. And we saw that that was the Word of God also, that the Bible's true. And then we saw in 6 through 9, we saw the condemnation of all things. Man messed up. God had to condemn everything, the flood. We saw that that was true, is the Word of God. And then 10 and 11, we saw the confusion of all things. Man got confused because he sinned, and man's been confused ever since. And we saw that those chapters 10 and 11, were true, and they're the Word of God. You can depend on them. You can rely on them. You can trust them. And now we're in the second half of Genesis, looking at the patriarchs. Abraham's the first one. We're up to chapter 24 on Abraham. And we're finding out, I hope we're finding out, that those 24 chapters are true also. They're the Word of God too, and we can trust them also. Really, you can just trust the whole book of Genesis, and then all the rest of them too, the other 65. The Bible's true. You can trust it. You can rely on it. You can depend on it. Now, what we saw last week was a little bit ahead, but Esau, he picked his own wife, or wives, if you will. And we'll see the mess that he gets in there later. But then Isaac was willing to let the father pick his wife. And I thank the Lord he interceded in my life and gave me the best one that there is. I got the last good one. But that's the way, is the grace of God, that Kim and I got married after we were saved. It's the grace of God. But that's the plan. That's the Father's plan. He wants our mates to be homeborn.
Yeah.
I'm talking about being born again right here at the home church on the altar. That's what I'm talking about. Or a church like this where someone got saved. You want your mate to be saved. I don't think I'll ever get over that illustration where the world traveler saw that camel yoked up in a yoke with a donkey. And that's what it's like if a saved person, unsaved person is yoked up. That's not the will of God, whether it's in business or marriage or church or anything else. And then we see chapter 24. I don't want to call it a play and actors, but it's similar to that. And down through here, we got the unnamed servant representing the Holy Spirit. And his job is to represent the Father and the Son. That's my job, too. I'm afraid I fail many times, but that's my job. And the Holy Spirit does help us. He gives tokens of the Father's riches. He has authority. He has earned authority in the house of the Father because of his faithfulness. And God blessed him. He's sent by the Father in the name of the Son. He did not speak of himself, we saw last week. He witnesses for the Master, we saw last week. And he guides all the way home. All the way home. He moved in my heart November 16th, 1974. And he's been guiding all the way. Sometimes I follow, sometimes I don't follow. But He guides.
Right.
He guides. It's not His fault. Abraham represents the Father, the big F Father, Heavenly Father, planning for the marriage of His Son. That's what He did. He's been doing that. The Heavenly Father's been doing that since Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. That's been going on. Isaac, he represents the Son who was offered up as a sacrifice, a miracle birth, loves and seeks for a bride in the evening time. Rebecca, she represents the church, the bride of Christ. You. And the far country is the world. Rebecca's home. And she's going to get sought out. Now the problem is the unequal yoke, like we already saw there, like we already talked about. That's in verses 3 through 6. And then the promises is in verse 7. Abraham said, look in verse 5, be sure that she be willing to follow. Peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow. And then in verse 8 he said, if the woman will not be willing to follow, just leave her alone. Leave her there in the far country. Are you willing to follow? Or you want to stick in the far country? The Lord's looking for someone to follow. And then we see the unnamed servant gets the checkbook. The master down verse 10 gives him all. And he said, go get a bride for my son. And let me say one more time, when the darling Son of God left heaven to come to the manger on that first Christmas morning to stay here, to visit with us, God with us, Emmanuel, for 33 years it bankrupted heaven. And they were waiting all that time till He got back. That's what they were looking for. We're looking for Him to come back. And then, starting in verse 12, is where we quit the prayer. And he's praying for the master. If it's okay, let me read it one more time. The unnamed servant, he said, it's Genesis 24:12. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham. He's praying for his master. He said, I pray thee send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water. It's a picture of the Bible. And the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And it came to... And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for my servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. That's a specific prayer. That's the detail. How many think he's going to get an answer? What do you think? Did anyone read ahead? Sneak preview, see what's going to happen. Man, I've been on the edge of my seat. What do you reckon's going to happen? Well, let's look. Let's look in 15. And it came to pass before he had done speaking. You know, that's the way it happens to me so many times. So many times. And the other day, it's been a week or two ago, Brother Dave Butler prayed for us, and he prayed this. He said, Lord, so many times you answer before we get done speaking. And let's look at some verses on that. Matthew 6:8. Now, I'm in no wise even implying that we shouldn't pray. I need to do my part. I need to pray. We have many commandments to pray. Pray without ceasing. Pray every day. But I'm just pointing out one other aspect. It's really not us. Matthew 6:8 here. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him. But He still wants me to ask. This is not a lesson against prayer. He wants me to ask. He wants me to pray. It's commanded that I would pray. I'm supposed to pray. I'm just saying that really we don't do nothing. It's all Him. How about Isaiah? 65. Now, if you read the whole chapter, this is during the millennium. This is not really a promise to us. It's just I've seen it happen a lot. The Lord already does it. He's doing it. I don't know why. Isaiah 65:24. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. I'm just talking about grace, undeserving favoritism from God, how God answers prayer. He answers our prayer. So, but a lot of times I don't even know what to pray for and He's done answered it. And then when He answers, He'll answer about five or six things at one time. He works it all out. Takes care of all of it. Let's look at it in Proverbs 16. My own personal favorite. It just always jumps out at me. It says, and I've had this happen a lot. A man's heart deviseth his way. Now, Sister Kim has a washing machine, clothes washer, talking about, not the dishwasher. And her washing machine for about a year now has been making a noise. It's like the gears is not catching in there. And they're just jumping. You can hear it in the living room. And if you fill it real full, it don't make much noise. It holds those gears together. But if you just put in a couple of towels and run through there, there's nothing holding them together. And you can hear it going like that. And we haven't really prayed about it yet, but I know she's been devising a way, and I've been devising a way. And her just about a month ago, the dryer started this real high squeak. A squeak's the only word to describe it. And you can hear it out in the yard. And what we're doing, we haven't prayed about it yet. We're going to. And I'll go ahead and tell you, He's going to give us one. He's going to give us one. It's going to be the best one He's got. I don't know if it'll be one without a computer. I don't know if it'll be the least expensive. I don't know if it'll be the most heavy duty, but He's going to give us the washer and dryer. I already know that. And I'm just devising right now. I'm just devising. But when it comes down to it, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. I already know. The Lord will direct His steps. He's going to show us where we ought to go to get that washer and dryer. He'll do it. Right now, I'm just saying, Here's what the servant said. And it came to pass before he had done speaking. That's what I'm saying. That's the way the Lord does me. Every day it seems like. That behold, Rebecca, the church, came out. So Rebecca, who was born unto Bethuel. You remember who that is? I think that's Abraham's brother. Remember he said, go get one from my family. One's homeborn. One's in the family. The son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor. Oh, here it is. Nahor, Abraham's brother. And look how she came out. Yeah. She came out with her pitcher on her shoulder, ready to go to work. Did the Lord answer prayer?
Yeah.
Well, let's see. We're not quite done yet. He fits right in the work lesson, by the way. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. This is the first time the word virgin is mentioned in your King James Dictionary, and right beside it you have a definition. Neither had any man known her. Any questions on that? Good. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up, and the servant ran. Now, I always remembered her running, but I didn't remember this. The servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my Lord, and she hasted. Now, in the Greek, it means hurried. No, I don't know. In hillbilly, it means hurried. She hurried. She wasn't fooling around. She had the pitcher on her shoulder. She hasted and let down the pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. Did he get his prayer answered? He did. He did. The servant ran. She hasted. She hurried. And then in 20, and she hasted again and emptied her pitcher into the trough, getting it out of the well, dumping it in the trough so the camels can drink. The servant drank first and ran again unto the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. Remember how many camels? Oh, 10 is right, Brother Teddy. Remember how many gallons a camel can drink? The little one hump economy model is about 40. The large two hump about 75. It averaged out when I did the math 53 gallons. Times 10 camels is 530 plus for the servant. She wasn't lazy, is my point. She went to work. And verse 21, the man wondering. Well, what's he wondering about? It looks to me like it's a clear, simple answer. Here's what he's wondering about. He done figured out she's kin. He done figured out she's been born again. She's in the family. He's wondering about verse 5. I wonder if she's going to be willing to follow.
Yeah.
Verse 8, I wonder if she's going to be willing to follow.
Yeah.
He knows all the rest of its answers.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's one more qualification here. And the man wondering at her held his peace to whether the Lord had done his journey, had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass as the camels had done drinking. Hey, they drank the whole 530 gallons. They didn't stop halfway. They drank it all. Till they'd done drinking, that the man took a golden earring and half a shekel of weight and... I'm sorry. Let's see here. And it came to pass as the camels had done drinking that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight and two bracelets for her hands of the 10 shekels weight of gold and said, "Whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee. Is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in?" And she said unto him, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, son of Machiah, which she bare unto Nahor." And she said, "Moreover unto him, we have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in." And the man bowed down his head and worshipped. We're going to find him doing that down in verse 48. We're going to find him doing it over in verse 52. It was just his habit to worship, to be thankful. Be real good if Brother Rick get in on that. Be thankful and worship. He bowed his head and worshipped for the answered prayer before it come to pass. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. And I being in the way, I'm in the way, the bright and shining way. I'm in the glory land." He's in the way. The Holy Spirit's going, "And the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." And the damsel ran and told him of her mother's house these things. That's Rebecca and the servant. Here's Laban and the servant, starting in 29. And Rebecca had a brother, and his name was Laban. And Laban ran out unto the man, unto the well. Now, we may find that's the only time Laban ever runs. We'll learn about Uncle Laban later. He got off the couch. Anyway, 30. "And it came to pass when he saw," this is Laban, "saw the earrings and the bracelets upon his sister's hand. And when he heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, saying, 'Thus spake the man unto me,' that he came and thus spake the man unto me, that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, 'Come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and the room for the camels.'" Now, if you believe Laban prepared it, raise your hand. I think the sister did. I think she did, and he just did like I do a lot of times. "Come on in. I fixed supper," but really it was Kim. Anyway, he said, "I." And the man came into the house, and he ungirded his camels and took the saddle off and gave straw and provender for the camels and water to wash his feet and the man's feet that were with him. And there was set meat before him to eat, but he said, I will not eat until I've told my errand. And he said, stay on. Now, in 34, we see the proposal by the servant here. He's representing the father. He did not give his name. And he said, I'm Abraham's servant. I know we read it last week. Let's read it again. John 16:13. Howbeit, when he has come, the capital S, Spirit of Truth, is come. He will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. Boy, if Brother Rick would ever get a hold of that right there. A lot of times folks ask me what I'm doing. I say, working. And then those that know me, they kind of laugh a little bit. And I say, well, I'm working my jaws anyway. I've got that much in it. And he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Remember that. We're going to refer back to that a little bit. He shall glorify me, red letters, Lord Jesus talking, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. He's trying to show us this morning. We're reading all these verses. He's trying to show us. He's trying to. Let's see now. Here's the servant's conversation with God, starting in 35. And the Lord hath blessed my master greatly, and he has become great. And he hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants, camels and asses. How about a witness right there? Anybody got more than they had when they got saved? Yeah, and Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son unto my master when she was old. And unto him he hath given all that he hath. And my master made me swear, saying, thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites in whose land I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my father's house and to my kindred take a wife unto my son. And I said unto my master, peradventure the woman will not follow me. And he said unto me, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee and prosper thy way. And thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred and of my father's house. And then shalt thou be clear from this my oath when thou comest unto my kindred. And if they will not give thee one. You might want to mark that one. Esau got two. But Abraham's looking for one for Isaac. Thou shalt be clear from this my oath. And I came this day unto the well and said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, if now thou do prosper my way which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water. And it shall come to pass that when the virgin cometh forth to draw water, and I say unto her, give me, I pray thee, a little water of thy pitcher to drink, she shall say to me, both drink thou, and I will also draw for thy camels. Let the same be the woman whom the Lord hath appointed out for my master's son. And then here's the servant's conversation with Rebekah. And before I had done speaking in my heart, amen, behold, Rebekah came forth with her pitcher on her shoulder, and she went down into the well and drew water. And I said unto her, let me drink, I pray thee. And she made haste and let down her pitcher from her shoulder and said, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. So I drank, and she made the camels drink also. And I asked her and said, whose daughter art thou? And she said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bare unto him. And I have put the earring upon her face. I think that means that your ears are part of your face. Is what I think it means. And a bracelet upon her hands, and I bowed down my head and worshiped the Lord. And blessed the Lord God, capital G God, my master Abraham, when he had led me in the right way, the glory land way, to take my master's brother, daughter, to his son. And then here's the offer by the servant. He's going to present the dowry. Back in Bible times, every young man paid for his bride. And here it goes. "And now, if ye will deal kindly and truly with my master," this is the servant talking, "tell me, and if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left." He said, "I'll go look for another. Just let me know if she's the one." And then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, "The thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken." And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. 53 is the dowry where he pays for his bride. "And the servant brought forth jewels of silver, jewels of gold and raiment, and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things." 1 Corinthians 6:20. "For ye, bride," talking to the bride now, "for ye, bride, are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." You glorified Him this morning by coming to His house. That's one way. How about chapter 7, verse 23? "We have a reason to. Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men." The Lord paid the dowry on the cross for Brother Rick and for you. Back to chapter 24, Genesis 54 is the party. "And they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. And they rose up in the morning, and he said, 'Send me away unto my master.'" And then here's the persuasion, starting in 55. "And her brother and her mother said, 'Let the damsel abide with us for a few days, at the least 10. After that, she shall go.'" Now, Laban's always been a problem. And right here again, he's starting out here, he's hindering. He don't want it to happen right now. He wants to hold off. "And he said unto them, 'Hinder me not, seeing the Lord, the big Lord, hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master.' And they said, 'We will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth.'" Verse 58. Now here's what he's going to ask her. Rebekah's going to be asked to believe a man she never met. She never met this unnamed servant. She doesn't know him. He's from, if you remember, almost 1,000 miles away. And he's going to ask her a question. She's going to be asked to go to a land from which she'll never return.
Right.
You might have been asked the same question. She's going to be asked to marry a man she's never met.
Right. Yeah.
You may have been asked that. "And they called Rebekah and said to her, 'Wilt thou go with this man? Wilt thou follow?'" Yeah. We're looking for one that will follow. Yeah. "And she said, 'I will go.'"
Yeah.
"Will you take this man for your lawful wedded husband?" She said, "I will. I will. I will go."
Yeah.
The pilgrimage starts in 59. "And they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said to her, 'Thou art our sister. Be thou mother of thousands and of millions. Let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate thee.' And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camel named Grace and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way." Now, what this involves, they camped out for many nights. It wasn't a short journey. Like we said, maybe 1,000 miles. I'm talking a couple months. And the servant was there to guard and guide because he knew the way. He'd just come up that path.
Right.
Rebekah's not left to stumble along. She's going to get guided safely home.
Right.
all the way home. And that first night, they're camped out, and she's learning about Isaac. And she said, "What's he like? Is he tall? Is he dark and handsome? What's he really like? Can you tell me about him? How old is he? What's he do? Is he a tent maker, a shepherd? What's his occupation? What's he do? Is he happy? Is he kind? Why did he go so far for a wife? Why did he pay so much?"
Think about it. Yeah, think about it.
What's the benefits? What's all the benefits? They get so far, they get down there about halfway, and they enter into Israel, and the unnamed servant, he might say, "You look on both sides of the road, and he owns all this."
Yeah.
He probably told him about Ishmael mocking him. I know he told him about Mount Moriah and the resurrection.
Yeah, think about that.
Coming back down off the mountain. How the father and son went together. Yeah. And Isaac returned. And she learns about him. Then she gets to know him and she's longing for him.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll be, when we going to get there?
Yeah.
How much longer is it? And it's not just a name. And now she's getting to long for him and love him, not just for the gifts, but for who he is.
Yeah.
And she's forgetting about her past life. And she's thinking more and more about a future with Isaac.
That's good.
What's that going to be like? What all he's done for her. And she would tell her companions at night when they go to bed what the servant had told her. And she was longing for him. She was longing for him. And he becomes more and more real and less a shadowy, unknown person. She realizes he's a wonderful man, vital to her future. And he's getting bigger and bigger all the time.
Yeah.
Verse 62, he's excited too. "And Isaac came from the way of the well, the Horeb, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the evening time. And he lifted up his eyes.
Yeah.
And behold, the camels were coming.
Yeah.
And Rebekah lifted up her eyes when she saw Isaac and lighted off her camel. For she had said unto the servant, 'What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us?'
Yeah.
And, the servant had said, 'It is my master.' Therefore she took the veil and covered herself." Isaac was walking in the field. He was as eager to meet her as she was to meet him. And verse 66, it said the servant told Isaac all the things he'd done. And we just read over in John 16 where the unnamed servant told us everything God had done in the 66 books. And this is verse 66 that the Lord said that. Verse 67 is the wedding. "And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah. She became his wife and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death." Ephesians 5:25. Y'all can get ready. Ephesians 5:25. "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." You're bought with a price. Now, Rebecca's not Sarah. The church is not Israel. And Israel's the wife of Jehovah. We're the bride of Christ.
Amen.